Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. Good evening. You're listening to the Muslim Sisters Circle radio talk show. I'm your host, Nisa. My co-host, Amina, could not be with us tonight, but she'll be back next week, inshallah. Today, we will be talking about hijabs. Being a hijabi, your trials, and your confidence that you have wearing your hijab. Last week, we didn't have a show, but the week before, we talked a little bit about being married young. We had a great conversation with some young sisters about being married young, and I think they're on the right track. May Allah help them and bless them in their marriages. Ameen. So, tonight we're going to be discussing with Fatima from the Hijab Sukk. She's going to be our guest tonight. And we're going to be talking to her a little bit about being a hijabi and starting a hijabi business. We would like for her to come on the show and just share her experience about opening up a business for sisters, as well as her confidence she has in being a hijabi and selling to sisters. I think her clothing line sells not just hijabs, but also abayas and dusters, because I've ordered a few and I love them. So if you want to share your experience, you can call 516-387-1905. Again, 516-387-1905. I'm going to have my beautiful co-host for tonight, my producer, Hasana, give salam. Assalamu alaikum, Hasana.
Alaikum salam. Thank you for that beautiful introduction. Alhamdulillah, this show is always just such a blessing. And, you know, may Allah make it easy for all of us. I mean,
how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. I was so excited for the show. I made sure I ate before I joined you because I'm like, I don't want to be hangry on air. So I'm like, let me run and have I made myself a black bean burger and some sweet potato fries. So I'm ready. I think my energy is up. I'm like, let me bring my A game. So I'm so happy to be with you. And so how are you doing?
I'm okay. Alhamdulillah. I got off work a little late, so I feel a little rushed. But, you know, I made dua before I started this show. I didn't get to eat, though. That was a good thing. I should have ate. But tonight, I think I'm going to make me a vegan black bean crumble and try to make a taco with some beans and a whole bunch of stuff. I'm going to take a picture of it and I'm going to post it.
Yes, so. Please do. Everyone, if you know, tell us what's on your menu for tonight. I know so many of us are just, you know, rushing around and just, you know, just trying to make it work every day. So, you know, and we hope that, you know, by you taking this time out, we just really appreciate all of you for listening. Thank you for taking the time out to just take this hour to, you know, hopefully get a benefit.
Yes, alhamdulillah. Let me ask you something, though. I don't know if you've been watching the news, but there was a riot yesterday in D.C. A friend of mine texted me, and she was like, you see what's going on in D.C.? I'm like, no, what happened? She's like, they're rioting. They took over the Capitol. I said, what? And then my father called me. He's like, you see what's happening on the news? I'm like, no, I'm working. I'm not even paying attention.
Right?
He's like, oh, no, yeah, there's some stuff going on. So I turned to the news, and I saw that our president incited the people to go to the Capitol, and then he tells them, okay, go home in peace, but we love you, you're good people, and then acts like it's not his fault. So that part I don't understand. I know like 4 people, I think, died. Do you think it would have been more people had they been black protesters or rioters?
Nisa, now you can't see the look on my face that I'm giving you right now. Now you know, if they had been black, would they have even gotten near the Senate floor? No, they would not. They would have been called thugs, tear gas, pepper spray, shot. Just being called thugs, and you know, can you just imagine a sea of Muslims coming to? Oh Lord, a 747, whatever kind of 57 plane would have been flying overhead. We wouldn't, none of us, African-Americans, Muslims, none of us would have gotten that sort of leisure, I would say, the luxury of getting that close. And it's just, it was just a really sad moment in our nation's history. It really was.
Yeah, I was just so blown away by watching the news today of the recap and everything that was going on. I'm like, even the Republicans at the Senate were saying, like, enough is enough. You know, Biden has won already. I'm done with it. You know, like, this is just over.
Absolutely.
Trying to tell him it's over.
Absolutely. And now they're talking about, you know, they suspended his Twitter account. And now they're talking about possibly removing him from office.
Finally.
I'm like, this should have been done his second day in office 4 years ago. He should have been removed his second day in office. So.
Well, especially the Twitter and the Facebook. Like, how much does he have to do in order to get his account revoked? Like, finally. I'm like, finally. It took that to get his account revoked.
Yeah, and I agree with you. And it's like, and it's too little, too late, because he has what days? Like what, 5 days?
Mm-hmm.
No, not
like,
5 days.
No, it's
what
the 20th or something like that. It's the 20th. Today's the 7th. Today's the 7th. So like 12 more days or something like that. 13 more days. Yeah.
Yeah. So they're really, they're just, it's just grandstanding at this point. It's like they have to do something. So.
Mm-hmm. So that just was like something that gave me chills yesterday, just watching the people in the Senate run and be afraid because they didn't know what was going to happen to them. And
absolutely.
It was very nerve-wracking to me, and I wasn't even there.
Absolutely, yeah. Same thing. My brother was, you know, we have our little family group chat. My brother was like, turn on the news. So we all turned on the news, and it was just, I just couldn't even, honestly, I was so upset. I couldn't even focus on work yesterday. I was just, and it was just the whole thought of just the privilege of it all, that we would have never ever been able to pull off such a thing.
Right. Okay, so let's get into today's topic. So we're going to talk about our journey of being a hijabi, confidence, or any trials that we've gone through. I know for me, my journey to wearing hijab, even though I became Muslim at like 16, it was a day or two before my 17th birthday, but
I still didn't
wear hijab because I was like really afraid. So I had talked to my mother when I was about 14, I think, going on 15 maybe, about becoming Muslim. You know, she's like, no, you better not do that. You know, I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah,
but I started to practice, I started to study, you know. So when I did become Muslim, I didn't wear hijab at first, because I was afraid, like, of her knowing that I was wearing hijab. So I did wear hijab, I would only wear it if I was around other Muslims, right?
Muslims,
so I would leave my house, go meet up with some Muslims to hang out, but I would put on my hijab. And then when I came back home, as soon as I get off the train, like, I take it off. So I think maybe around, I guess, mid-17-ish, I was like, no, I have to start wearing hijab because I'm Muslim now. You know, I have to stress after, you know, just start doing it. So when I started doing it, she started making me go to church even more.
Wow.
She had already joined the church, you know, when we was like 14, 15, she joined the church. So I was going to church with a hijab.
Oh my God, that's so beautiful, Nisa, because that was your conviction.
Yeah, but the looks that I would get coming out of the church with a hijab, when people were looking at me like, so it was kind of embarrassing at one point, but then it still gave me the strength. Like, you know, I'm Muslim. I'm not going to, you know, let anything deter me because it's something that I wanted. So it was a struggle at first. And then when 9/11 happened.
Yes, that was what I was going to.
It was very hard, but I still didn't stop wearing hijab. But I know a lot of my friends who did. Start wearing hijab because of the fear.
Yeah,
of
being really
right. And I remember walking down Atlantic Avenue, and this woman pushed me and was like, "You don't care about what happened to those people on 9/11.
How dare you?"
And I was like, "What is she talking about?" I was like, "I do care about them, but what is wrong with you?" So I was about to go after her, but I saw that she appeared to be homeless, and then she went to her like shopping cart. So I didn't know what she had in the shopping cart. Mm-hmm. So I just started walking away, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that was my experience. And then also losing a job when I was like about 18, 19 years old, because I wouldn't take off my hijab. They was like, oh, no, you can't work here with that on. And I'm like, what are you talking about? This is part of my religious makeup. What do you, you know, what do you mean I can't work here? And then it was a Jewish guy. He had on a yarmulke. I'm like, well, he could work here with a yarmulke on. And I can't work here with my headpiece on. So they let me go. I can't say who the company was, but it's so long ago, I probably could say now, but I had signed something saying that I wouldn't say anything because I'm sure they would have probably lost out. But I wound up suing them for, you know, it was like an EEO thing. So I wound up going to a law firm that handled EEO. So I got my job back and, you know, they had to write me a letter of apology, yada, yada, yada. But I was so young. It was just like, I wasn't going to stay at that job. I knew that, but it was a principle, you know, how you let somebody go because of their religious garb, you know?
Right.
So after that, I just tried to remain strong and steadfast in wearing my hijab and having confidence in wearing my hijab. And, you know, along with wearing hijab, I started wearing niqab years later.
Mm-hmm.
I never thought I would be wearing niqab. I remember we all used to wear niqab.
Yes.
And that was another struggle within itself. But, you know, I knew that I didn't have fear for anyone but Allah.
Mm-hmm.
And I just continued to practice and, you know, wear what I thought I would be comfortable in and knew that it was part of my deen and I wasn't going to take it off to anybody, you know? It was my decision and it was going to be my decision to take it off, you know? So, alhamdulillah, Allah is merciful and He has allowed me to be able to stay strong and steadfast in wearing hijab and I love it, you know? Get compliments, of course, on matching it up.
Yes.
You know, you got to keep it pretty and matchy.
Yes.
But even, you know, I wear all black sometimes, but it's always stylish, you know, or it just makes me feel beautiful, you know, wearing
hijab.
And you
look beautiful.
Mashallah. Mashallah. I love to see a Muslim sister with hijab on and, you know, a nice garment on, like, oh my God, even the car, I just think they look so beautiful.
Yes.
You know, so, mashallah, Allah is merciful. So what has been your experience with wearing hijab?
Well, it's been a struggle, and, well, it's still a struggle. I became Muslim when I was about 27, 28, so I wouldn't want to pretend like that was only a couple years ago, but it was really long. And so, like you, it was so funny because when I first started, I would wear the head wraps, you know what I'm saying? Not a himar, as a head, like more like a turban look.
Right.
You know, like you, we grew up in the church from birth. So, Islam was always something very, you know, foreign to me, something that we didn't know anything about until my older brother became Muslim. And so the first person I saw in a kimar was his wife at the time. And so, like you said, I thought she looked so cute. So then, you know, I took shahada and then I started with the head wraps. It wasn't until, you know, I at that time, I wouldn't dream of wearing it to work. I think at one point I did, you know, I was so overzealous and I did start wearing it to work. And like you said, back then, this was like a couple years before 9/11. You know, you weren't protected. Nowadays, people can't say the things that they said back then to make you feel some type of way. So I think I wore it once to work and then I was like, never again, because everybody's, you know, making fun of me. I felt very uncomfortable. So, it, you know, it wasn't really until I had gotten married that I started, you know, to wear it all the time. And it felt uncomfortable at first. It really did. I'm like, oh my gosh, everybody's staring at me. I look weird because I didn't know how to make it stylish. I think it wasn't until I met like you and Amina and other sisters that just look so nice. And then I felt, you know, much more confident and, you know, learned how to hook it up. And then, you know, but then everything was smooth sailing, like you said, you know, wearing niqab and things. And then I got divorced, like, what, about 2004, 2005. Then it became a struggle again, you know. It was like, wait, I'm not married anymore. Now how is anybody going to know how good I look all covered up? So, you know, it's still a struggle, but I love always, you know, I love going to buy the nice overgarments, and you've always, I don't mean to brag about you, but you always, you know, hook me up. I was thinking about what the last garment that you gave me, because every time we see you, you always hook me and my girls up. I remember you making us the beautiful two pieces, and you know, it's things like that.
Yes.
That, you know, I think you made one for Fatima, who's now 17. I remember her being 3 years old wearing this bright blue two-piece that you made her. She would wear it all the time. So I think that, you know, for my girls, it's very different than it is for me, because they, you know, they were, this was what they were born into. So, but even for them, it's like by the time they got to be 12 and 13, they made, it just was automatic for them. When they were in elementary school, it was like, they didn't really, you know, want to. And I didn't, you know, I didn't know how to approach it. I didn't want to make them feel like, oh, I'm forcing it. So they made the decision, though, by the time they were 12, 13, they made the decision that they're going to cover. And so, and they just, they inspire me, because, you know, they always keep themselves looking cute. Everybody always, you know, compliments them. And, you know, when the Eid comes, they're with their friends and, you know, so, you know, alhamdulillah, it's really important that, you know, from young, they are encouraged, girls are encouraged to cover and really be proud of it. And it is a struggle for us that, you know, I make no excuses, but it is a struggle, I guess, for people that, you know, it wasn't always something that they saw automatically. I don't know if that makes sense.
Right. No, it is. You're absolutely right. And, you know, a lot of the times I think about that, what is the appropriate age for children start wearing it. So like you said, your girls made the decision at 12 or 13 on their own that they're going to wear it all the time.
All the time.
You know? Yeah. Alhamdulillah, that's, I think that's beautiful.
I think it's beautiful too. Like I said, I didn't force them, you know, when they were elementary school. I don't know. I'm just always the kind of person that, oh, so emotional. I'm just always the kind of person, like, I get worried. I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, do they want to do this? Like, I didn't force them in elementary school. Like I did when, like, when they weren't in school, you know, they would, I, so there was only one other little Muslim girl in their school, and she was wearing a kimar from the time she was like, I think from the time they had gone to school together, from the time they were, they went to school, her name was Amina. And from the time, you know, she was in kindergarten, first grade, you know, she had her arms covered. She would wear a shirt underneath her uniform shirt. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so scared. I don't know. I don't want to, you know, so, but they made the decision that themselves, like once they graduated elementary, once they got to middle school, then, you know, when they went to school, they made sure they had their kimars on and, you know, they like to wear their overgarments. So I'm just really proud.
Alhamdulillah. That's beautiful. So we'll take some calls. If anybody wants to call in, 516-387-1905. We'd love to hear your story, your journey to wearing kimar or hijab. 516-387-1905.
And I wanted to go back to what you were saying, you know, about being at the job and feeling like you, you know, that, that job you were at, that was really something, that what you experienced with them telling you you couldn't wear that. And I wonder, you know, how many people have experienced that? So I want to know from any of our callers, have you experienced that, being told that you couldn't cover, or being, you know, maybe feeling ridiculed?
Yeah, that's right. I'm sure people have had that experience.
Yeah. So if you have, if you're, calling in, please bear with us just for a moment so we can get you on the air. In my VIP mode, I'm not able to see the switchboard, but I'm so excited that we do have callers. So please stand by and we'll be right with you and bringing you on the air.
Yes, so let's take our first caller. Assalamu alaikum, you're on the air.
Okay, hi. Walaikum salam. This is Rafika.
Please state your name. Rafika?
Rafika?
Yeah, assalamu alaikum, Rafika.
Walaikum salam. I don't know if you guys can hear me okay, because I'm actually in,
yes,
in a gym.
Okay, yeah, okay, I can hear you now. Oh, you getting your workout on? Excuse me.
I'm trying. I got my daughter up in here with me, so we're trying to be a some team players and encourage each other, right?
Nice. That's good. Yeah.
Mashallah. So, yeah, I just wanted to be really brief because I don't want to hold anybody else up who wants to speak. But I grew up Muslim. I was born into Islam. My parents have a total of 9 children combined. I have 4 other sisters and I have 4 brothers. I grew up in Brownsville, Brooklyn, New York, initially.
Oh, Brownsville represented.
And I know, right? So I attended an elementary school called PS-298. By the time my parents had me, I'm like the third to the last child, and they couldn't afford a Muslim school for us.
Mm-hmm.
So when we started out in elementary school, I didn't cover. I didn't wear hijab because I was a young girl.
Mm-hmm.
And my particular elementary school went from kindergarten all the way up to 8th grade. So
mm-hmm.
it transitioned like that. So a lot of the friends or classmates that I went to school with, a few of them, very few of them were Muslim. But for the most part, everybody was non-Muslim in that school, especially at that time. That was in the 80s, and Islam was not as prevalent as it is today. So you see many
right.
more Muslims today than
mm-hmm.
you do now, especially in Brooklyn.
Yes.
So my father, he worked as a merchant seaman. He would go out to sea a lot, and it was basically just my mom with my siblings. And I have half siblings. My father had 2 wives before, and I went to school with my brother. Me and him was the same age. So people often question, how old are y'all? How y'all the same age? And we had to explain that we're Muslim and, all of those things
mm-hmm.
pretty early on. And it was very uncomfortable to explain that in a non-Islamic school.
Right.
So by the time I reached about 4th grade, I think it was maybe 5th grade, I got my menstrual cycle. Mind you, I was going to the school with these same people, and all of a sudden, I started covering my head. And I didn't wear it properly, like pinned under my chin, but it was kind of thrown at me because my father was out to sea, so it was mostly my brothers, my older brothers, that were watching over the girls. And my brother was made it like a punishment. He didn't make it seem like it was a beautiful thing to cover. So
right.
I would go to school, and I would feel a little embarrassed. And it was very difficult for me going to school covering, especially because everybody knew me to not cover for all those years that I attended school. And the way I would do it is I would wrap it, like the sister said earlier, like a turban.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to wear African print kimars, turban.
Mm-hmm.
So it was more like a cultural thing. My mother was big on African culture because we grew up African-American. So I wrapped it in a turban. I would sneak sometime and, like, let my hair down and make it look
mm-hmm.
like it was just a wrap around my head because it was
mm-hmm.
embarrassing. And
right.
Unfortunately, that was that experience for me. And over time, I became more comfortable with it and I got more confident as an adult. But I never really modified it properly. I never really wore it properly until I was actually in my 20s.
Okay.
And this was by the time I was working for the federal government. So once I started to wear it draped differently, people began to notice that I was a Muslim,
mm-hmm.
because before you can't really tell what somebody is if you ain't dressed a certain way. And
right.
they noticed I was Muslim. And a couple of people, they were open to it. They were like, oh, wow, I didn't know you were Muslim. And I was like, well, yeah, I guess because my last name is Hamilton, they probably
mm-hmm.
think I wasn't Muslim. But they didn't know my whole name. It's Rafika Amatullah Muhammad Hamilton. But they just knew Rafika Hamilton. So
right.
so what happened was I started wearing it that way. And then I came and I ended up working for the Department of Navy, and that's out here in New York because this was in Virginia. And
mm-hmm.
I did experience some discrimination. Very rude remarks was made to me, and it was very challenging, but it wasn't anything that anyone can say to make me remove my hijab because I was very firm and confident about my religion, my beliefs, and my heart was in the deen, and I knew that I was covering for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I just felt like if I'm doing this for my Lord and you're just a person, how dare you come to me and try to get me to take something off when I'm doing this for a creator who can destroy you right now if he wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
So with that being said, regardless of your beliefs, that should be enough. Listen, she's doing this for God,
mm-hmm.
the unseen creator. Let me step away from her. But I dealt with a lot of drama. So moving on to my daughters, I have two daughters, and because of my experiences and what I saw, I introduced them to the hijab when they were around first grade.
Okay.
And my daughter, my oldest daughter, she just wanted to wear it in kindergarten. My younger daughter, she was a little more apprehensive. So my suggestion for anyone with daughters is to always introduce them to the hijab as early as possible, especially if they're in school, even if they don't have to wear it every day. What we did was we started out wearing it on Fridays, on Juma, for the young girls in first grade and kindergarten. And then other days during the week, you know, I would let them dress how they wanted, or maybe, and then we increased to about 2 days a week, maybe Mondays and Fridays. Mm-hmm. And so that way, whoever they were going to school with, they became accustomed to seeing them covered sometimes.
Right.
And then by the time they reached puberty, they just wanted to do it on their own. So that was my journey, and that was my introduction for my daughters into wearing the hijab. And that's pretty much it.
Alhamdulillah, shukran, Rafika, for your input, and we appreciate it, and that's good advice.
Mm-hmm. I love that advice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. MashaAllah.
Thank you. We'll take the
All
next
right.
caller. Thank you
You're
for
welcome.
Calling. Thank you for listening. Assalamu alaikum.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome. Wa alaikum salam.
I think one call dropped. Assalamu alaikum. You're on the air. If you're on hold, please bear with us. We're going to give everyone a few minutes, about 5 minutes or so, to say their comments. Assalamu alaikum. You're on the air. Please state your name and where you're calling from. Hello?
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My name is Yasmin from Bronx, New York.
Oh, wa alaikum salam. How are you?
Alhamdulillah, I'm doing good, dear sisters. How are you today?
Alhamdulillah.
MashaAllah. I just saw this, it just posted in the sisters group chat. I'm not too familiar with the show, but I was just interested in listening in and benefiting, MashaAllah. So may Allah reward you guys for this that you're doing, first and foremost, Ameen. With regards to hijab, I'm actually a revert of about 3 years, going on 4, alhamdulillah. And, of course, as a revert, you know, it's really difficult in the beginning to really understand why you're doing, or you see Muslim sisters wearing hijab, and it's like, why are they doing this and stuff like that. But I learned in the course of some months listening to other stories about sisters who converted to Islam, that in the beginning, and this is what happened for me, you kind of just dive in and you don't really understand what you're doing. You just see what is around you and what is common. So when I first took my shahada, at first I was not really practicing because I was actually dating a Muslim man, subhanAllah, at the time, and he was not, and I'm not downing him or anything, but he wasn't as encouraging with regards to hijab and Islam in general. You know, it was just like, you know, you're Muslim now, and now we can hopefully get married in time. But alhamdulillah, that did not work out. But moving forward, once I started officially, you know, learning about the deen in and of itself and learning about hijab, I kind of took it too fast. So I started wearing, you know, full kimar, full, you know, the whole shebang. I wore it, but I just was not fully happy with it because I didn't understand it. And the thing about it is that in the beginning of my Islam, the things I was learning, I was learning the wrong things first. And it's nothing wrong in Islam, but what I was learning was more of the punishments of Allah and, you know, the things that if you were to commit a sin, you're going to, you know, it's just not good. It's going to have an effect on your heart and stuff like that. All true. But there are certain things that we need to know first with regards to tawheed, with regards to, you know, being sincere, with regards to many other things. So as I began to learn, I kind of calmed down a little bit, or a lot in that case, because that same brother came back into my life because I had cut him off completely. I was an extremist. So I said, I don't want nothing to do with you. I don't want to do anything haram. I threw away all my clothes. I switched all my wardrobe to a full hijab, like full kimar and everything. And once that phase kind of died down and, you know, you start to, you know, take things a little easy, I was, you know, wearing just the Kimar, but not even correctly, you know, and then I would wear a shirt and I would wear pants. I was in college at the time, so I would just, you know, wear it pretty much how I wanted to because I was meeting new people and they were telling me to take the dean slowly, but I took it too slowly. I was like a turtle. So I was like, subhanAllah, let me, you know, just do pretty much whatever I wanted to do. So I started wearing it like that. Then that guy came back into my life and, you know, he was more interested in me wearing my hijab, how I started wearing it like that, just with the kimar and the jeans and stuff, because, you know, he's of a certain culture. I won't mention it, but, you know, this is commonly how they wear their hijab. And may Allah help and guide us all. I mean, so I started wearing it like that, and eventually I started learning the right way to cover because I started seeing the sisters cover, and, you know, they explained to me decently, no pressure. This is, you know, how to wear hijab, the scholars' opinions and views, and, you know, and the deen, the, you know, the proofs and stuff like that. So, you know, I started learning, and eventually I realized me and that guy was not going to work out because I wasn't being encouraged in the deen as I should. And, mm-hmm. you know, I started covering and I got criticized for it. You know, he was saying that this is, you're doing too much, you know, while you're wearing it, it's choking mm-hmm. you and stuff like that. SubhanAllah. And I kept on. I alhamdulillah, with Allah's permission, I kept on wearing it. And ever since then, I mean, I'm still learning about it till this day because no one is perfect. And for the most part, I am a full-time hijabi. But as I mentioned, no one is perfect. And I stick to it the best I can. Whatever Allah has given me and all the sisters, I know we're all trying, we're all struggling. No one's perfect. But as long as you keep your intentions as sincere as possible and you have knowledge, you try to seek knowledge about it, I think that's the most important thing, being sincere. Number one, sincerity. Doing it for Allah and being sincere in that and learning about it are the three things that are very important with regards to anything in the deen. So, alhamdulillah, that's my hijab story.
Alhamdulillah. Shukran. So we appreciate you calling and listening. That's such a beautiful story. Alhamdulillah. May Allah bless you and keep you in hijab and help all of us to get closer to Allah. Ameen.
Ameen.
Okay. Assalamu alaikum, you're on the air. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
Wa alaikum salam, my name is Shema. I'm calling from Queens, New York.
Shema!
Alaikum Shema.
Wa alaikum salam, how are you?
Alhamdulillah.
Good, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. I was just listening in to the sisters' stories, and I just wanted to share my story of wearing hijab. I actually grew up on hijab when my mom became Muslim. I think I was about maybe 2 or 3. So she mm-hmm. immediately started me on hijab. So I was bullied for it. Like when I was in kindergarten, the kids would pull my hijab off and things like that. But alhamdulillah, like it's so weird because I still wanted to wear it. I remember one time, and this is crazy, it was in kindergarten, I remember one time we had like a Hawaii party, so my mom did my hair, and she was like, you can take off the hijab, you know, because, you know, I was still young, I was like 6, and I felt so uncomfortable, and after that, I never wanted to take off my hijab again. Everybody was mm-hmm. touching my hair, it was just like, you know, I felt like, it was just like, you know, uncomfortable, and I was small, so... You know, I really kept that hijab on. I believe when I got to high school, that's when it got hard for me because I was homeschooled until I went to high school. So I didn't get any interactions like with other kids my age. You know, just regular people shouting out at me on the street, you know, saying, go back to your country, terrorists, things like that, you know, the normal stuff that sometimes, you know, ignorant people say. Yeah, and it's so crazy because when I went to high school, I was the only girl there wearing, like, hijab and, like, skirt. Like, all the other girls that were wearing hijab, they were wearing, you know, like, different ways. and like sometimes with their hair showing or like their ears showing. I wasn't wearing, I just wore straight like kimar, and I had my skirt on. They weren't wearing the skirt. So I kind of like felt like, you know, like I don't think I was like 14. I kind of felt like, oh man, nobody's going to like me and stuff like that. And they're going to call me weird names, and which they did. They called me like towelhead and stuff like that. And
oh, no.
I remember I was in gym class, and Lauren, one of the, like a boy, he pulled my hijab. Like he yanked it off. So we fought. So my mom told me I had to defend myself. This was in ninth grade, and I went to Virginia.
I think I remember this.
Yep. And we fought, and then I ended up telling like my mom and stuff, and you know, she was PTA president, so she was telling the dean and everything like that. And I was too scared to like tell the name of the kid and like who it was, because you know, like, you're not supposed to snitch, and we already fought. So I just felt like I didn't want anybody to jump me or anything like that if they got in trouble. So after that, like, you know, I started saying, you know, I'm different, and 10th grade came around, and I started respecting the hijab more because, you know, people started respecting me more that I didn't take it off. Some of the girls started taking off the hijab and stuff like that, and, you know, we started learning more about, like, beauty and how is attractive, you know, when you cover up and they want to see, like, you know, they want to see what's under there. They want to see you, and it makes them, you know, more attracted to you. So, like, definitely it's supposed to cover us, but it's also very attractive, that fact that we, like, you know, keep covered and we're not showing off, you know, what we have and things like that. And then going, like, when I got older, I just became, like, learning more and, you know, like, different surahs in the Quran, like Surah An-Nur and Ahzab, like talking about how Allah commands the Prophet ﷺ to have his wives and the daughters like cover themselves with the veils. And I was just like, oh my God, like Allah is telling us to cover ourselves. So that made me just want to like continue. And you know, I didn't wear like a bias all the time. I wore like, you know, summer dresses or skirts and things like that, you know, but I was still very modest. And I started like getting different hijabs, like different colors, different styles, flowers, things like that. And it started making me like, you know, feel more confident about myself. And people used to be like, oh my God, I really like your hijab. I never, you know, like, you know, the non-Muslims be like, wow, I didn't know you guys could wear these colors. I didn't know you guys could, you know, make it stylish and stuff. And I'm like, what? Yeah, of course. Like, we're not dull. And even without it on, we still, you know, still do our hair. We still, you know, because that's one of the things that they talk about. Oh, why are you guys, you know, when I used to go to get my hair done, oh, why are you guys get your hair done? Like, you're not even going to show it. And I'm like, we're supposed to be bald headed and our hair look crazy just because you're not showing it off?
Right.
No,
so
like
true.
We keep ourselves looking nice and clean, and you know, we like to look nice too. But they don't really understand why we want to look nice for ourselves, and there's nothing wrong with that, or look nice for our husband, or when we go have parties with sisters or whatever, like we do our hair, we get dressed up, and it's so beautiful, like.
Right.
They can't believe it. Like, they don't understand.
Right.
So, you know, and it's, you know, they question and they're like, wow, like, that's really nice, you know, and they start to get interested. So I think, like, also the hijab is, like, a form of dawah, too, when, you know, they have questions. Even sisters that don't wear hijab and stuff and, you know, they ask me, like, how do you make it easy for you? And I'm like, just wear it. Like, wear it and love it because it's what Allah loves. And then, you know, it'll become easy and you see the difference when you wear hijab. Like,
well, thank
you
so much,
Shema.
We appreciate you calling in. We're going to go to another caller.
Yes, that was such good commentary.
All right.
Assalamu alaikum. Thank you for holding and for your patience. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
Wa alaikum salam. Nobody can too. My name is Saida from Brooklyn, New York. It was nice listening to everybody's input, especially the reverse. It was really nice because you know, as a person who was born, sorry, my son is going crazy, born into Islam. We have very similar, you know, interactions and experiences. And alhamdulillah, my father, he never made me cover, but my older sister was made to cover, and she resented him and just hijab too, but for so long. But me, on the other hand, I guess because it wasn't forced on me, I loved it and I wanted to cover. And but like so many other sisters, I went to school and they would literally pull it off, you know. And I remember one time I had my hijab on and it had a pin in it, a safety pin in it, and one girl pulled it off, and I'm in elementary school. One girl pulled it off my head, and just instinctively I just waved it at her, and the safety pin like scratched her face, and she started screaming, and then I got called into the principal's office, and I was like, yes, and then they were like, well, what? Why would you do that to her? I said, she pulled my scarf off my head, and, and you know, so it was the victim being criminalized, if you will, right? So, so that was an interesting experience, but, and I don't think I really wore hijab after that. I don't know if I attribute it to that experience, but I know that. It was, you know, I didn't wear hijab. I was a Juma Muslim, so on Fridays I would put my hijab on to go to the masjid when I left school for Juma. And but then at about 15 or 16, I went to the Muslim Youth of North America conference, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let me be in this sea of Muslims, and it felt amazing just being around so many Muslims. And after that, I just had my hijab on, and it went through many stages of hijab, right? So I went from wearing it down, like down, but toward the back. In my humble understanding, I was covered. You know, I was covered.
Right.
And then it went from that to many other stages, in turban and wrapped to the bun in the back and Afrocentric. And it went through many stages. And then and then when I turned about, I don't know, in my 20s, then I was like, okay, no, this is all wrong. Let's put on dialogue, let me go through another metamorphosis. And it was amazing. But hijab is my experience, it just is so beautiful, and it keeps me grounded, and it keeps me mindful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed it to keep me mindful, because sometimes, like, I'm kind of like a hothead, but because I wear hijab, I'm like, you can't do that, you know, you can't respond the way you would like to respond. And so hijab is truly a mercy for me. And it's like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed me in just this blessing of hijab, right? Hijab is truly a blessing, and it's manyfold of blessings. And I'm just so grateful. So anyways, I love hijab. That's it.
Shukran Saida, we appreciate you calling in and always listening.
Yes, thank you guys for doing this. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue to bless you all. This, you guys' show is amazing. May Allah continue to bless you. Jazakallah khair.
Ameen. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Assalamu alaikum. You're on the air. Please be brief and say your name and state where you're calling from.
Wa alaikum assalam. Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My name is Naima, and I am from Brooklyn. So I was listening to Saida, and that's one of my sweethearts. And she actually took me back to when I started. I grew up in Islam, of course. First masjid we were affiliated with was Khalifa. And a lot of my clan was there. And gradually, my dad had us go to Takwa, and then we kind of went to Masjid Muslimin. But through that process, you know, I was young coming into, you know, myself, growing up, you know, in the hood and being surrounded around the kuffars, you know, and not having, you know, an Islamic community of girls that is your age and your preteens and teens kind of has an effect. So I was affected by that. And I remember high school just saying, you know, my dad is very strict, so we had to wear the hijab. And we couldn't play around with it. We had to wear it the proper way. So that meant covering up your neck, and I would do what I wanted to do.
In your ears.
But yeah, my dad did not play that. So fast forward, I remember taking my associates in college, and I was in class with Saida. And I, you know, of course, I grew up in Islam. I was Muslim, but I didn't cover. And I used to be ashamed to give the salam to sisters that covered. So I would just not look. It was just a thing I had with me. I just wouldn't look. I'd just act like I don't see them. And Saida would talk to me. And she, the first thing she said to me is, you know, your name is a Arabic name. Do you know the meaning of your name? And I'm just like, yeah. You know, and I always crack up with her because I'm like, you called yourself giving me dawah. She's totally I had to out with it because, you know, we was really talking and I said, I am Muslim. And I remember her, I saying to her, yeah, you remind me of the Khalifa Muslims because she was always in color. This girl would come to class in mustard and green and I used to admire her. And, of course, you wouldn't tell that I was Muslim. So after she said that, I turned and I said, oh, yeah, I'm Muslim. And she said, well, why weren't you giving me the salam? And I just, you know, I said, well, I don't give the salam because, you know, I just feel like
you're going to say, what the heck am I saying salam for? You're not even covered. I didn't know if you were going to take it as an insult.
I don't know. I have my own reasons why I just felt like I shouldn't give the salam if I'm not covered. And what stuck to me, what she said that stuck to me, subhanAllah, and it may have been the very thing on top of Zainab, give me one second, honey, that caused me to really reflect upon covering. She said, some people say, and she did a hand gesture, and she said, some people say that they are Muslims, and she touched her mouth as to say, you know, they're saying it. And she was like, but the question is, do they say? And the hand gesture was to emulate how we dressed.
Right.
And that stuck to me on so many levels. And I was what you would call a Ramadan Muslim. So Ramadan came, the weave would come out, the nails would come out, because I just knew the nails would come off. And I just knew this was the month where it's the month of forgiveness. So even if I sinned all year, I better just get some, you know, barakas in for Ramadan. So So I remember going to Takwa and seeing Zainab, Layla. And, you know, we were talking, and I was I grew up with her, but the other one.
The other one, okay.
And we were talking, and she's like, yeah, I'm going to see you. I'm like, no, you're not going to see me. Because in my head, I knew at the Ramadan I wasn't coming to the masjid. That's just what I always did for years. So she just was like, don't say that. She just kept saying to me, don't say that. You know, she gave me her whole journey on, you know, when she decided to. So I was like, yeah. But I remember during the last 10 nights, you know, this is when we make dua, and I will never forget just asking Allah to guide me, you know, or allow me not to hit the grave in a way that he's not pleased with. So... And I always felt like perhaps that dua was the one that was answered. But long story short, she's like, you're not gonna, I'm telling her, you're not going to see me because I know after Ramadan, I just wasn't coming back to the masjid. And I was in the fashion industry. And I was working for Marc Jacobs, actually. And they were just super gothic, demonic, and everything like that. And I'm just like, oh, I'm just so sick of this. And I remember coming home from work and saying, you know what, let me just listen to the Quran, let me just try. And I remember walking past Takwa, And I was so, I would say, sexified, like just tight on heels, red lips. And I remember walking past the sister side, hiding myself. Because everyone I grew up on one Friday was outside. And I was like, oh, my God, they can't see me like this because my father is. It's like, oh, man. And I sat in my car after I got, because, you know, the store by the sister side used to, you know, they sold, like, books and CDs. So I went there to get Sura Bakra and the CD and just different kind. And I had to go past all the sisters I grew up with and went to school with, and I'm putting my head down, and I'm just like, oh, they cannot see me like this. And after I got past that, I sat in the car, played it, and I remember just crying. Just crying, like, oh my God, like, I really got to get myself together. This ain't even right.
Yeah.
Like, fighting with the school frauds, and they don't, they, you know, they don't like you whether you admit that you're Muslim or not, because they didn't know I was, because I wasn't dressed like that. But they would do a lot of sihr. So, you know, and that's what they're saying, because conversations I would have with other people when I go to work, they'll bring it up. So, you know, knowing what I knew growing up in Islam about that and how to repel in the Quran, it brought me back to learning and understanding. And then the next day, I decided to go to work, and I took it a step at a time. I mean, I didn't go in on the buyer, but, you know, I covered my head, and I had like a three-quarter skirt with stockings, and decided I'm going to pray. I'm going to start off by praying. I'm going to cover a little bit, and I'm going to
pray. Did they have a problem with that when you came in with the hijab?
Oh, yes, honey, yes. Yes, absolutely. But this time I started by an inch. I was wearing my kimono for Salat. Then that got so annoying because Salat was coming back, and I'm just like, okay, I got my hair done, my curls coming out, I got to go make wudu. So that just started getting annoying. So gradually, I can't throw the chemo on for so long and take it off, and then I got to carry in a baya because I'm not dressed properly. That whole deal just got so annoying to me. So by the next week, I was like, I'm going to have to find something more to wear. So I went to, you know, a store and bought some maxi dresses, and I was like, okay, I'm going to start with this. Came to work again that week. They were, like, so upset. Fired me.
Oh, yeah.
They terminated me. And I was just like, what the heck? And this was my first test. This was my first test of trying. And I sued them, long story short, I won, alhamdulillah. But, you know, from then on, it was like either deen or Islam, deen, Islam, or work. Fashion, you know, and I just couldn't figure it out because I just graduated. I was working for so many different fashion companies, and I know how there, you know, it's the struggle with being Black, and then it's the struggle with being Muslim, because they didn't know the fashion industry is predominantly Jewish. And if they're not Jewish, then they're atheists. And if they're not atheists, then it's just like, you know, all for one for all. You know, you understand what I mean? So it was a challenge because a lot of people I knew were gay, bisexual, and, you know, with a lot of parties. And it was just this lifestyle that I felt like trying to practice, I had to go into rehab. I refer to it as the dunya rehab, because I had to kind of change my circle so that I could wear my hijab, feel comfortable, and be confident, and not have that sort of attachment to the things that I used to do. So that was a challenge. That was a challenge, but Allah blessed me so much so, and I'm going to end it by saying, one of the companies, when I first started working in the fashion industry, which was years ago, I used to look at and say, I would never work there. They're too posh. They wouldn't like me because I'm Black. And this was Tiffany & Company, honey. And when I started practicing, Allah blessed me with that job. And when I tell you that was the best company in the fashion industry that I have ever, ever worked for. Subhanallah, it was. And if I can go back, I actually saw my old supervisor, she's like, come back. But, you know, I would go back because I was able to work covered in my abaya from head to toe and completely in all Black because that was the uniform. And then the customers, I didn't work on the sales floor because I'm more on the corporate side. So I would get all of the items together and do more of the logistics aspects of it. But whoever came in there to spend the most, they knew it was the Muslim.
So it was a sense of love. You know, you have the Saudi Arabian.
Right.
So all of them came in there. And when I would go on the sales floor, because I needed to do the settings or do the counts, the Muslim sisters would come to me. Like, they thought I was, you know, a sales rep. And I had the luxury of giving it to whoever I thought, you know, was very nice. And they would get sales of 10,000, 20,000. So I remember the comment saying, we love, one of the coworkers saying, we love when the Muslims come in. Thanks.
I'm real loud. Thank you so much. I'm Naima for your call and for your comment. You have to get to the next caller, though, okay?
Of course, of course, of course.
Thank you so much for calling in and for listening.
Of course, love.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Hotala barakatuh.
Okay, please, if you're listening, just be brief and be patient with us while you're on hold. We really thank you for your patience. I'm going to take the next caller. Assalamu alaikum. Please say where you're calling from and your name.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My name is Hudala. I'm calling from Pennsylvania.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. You guys are not going to like my story, but you asked me about my experience with hijab, so I'm going to tell you. It's a little different from everybody, and I'm going to talk fast so I can get my point across so I can, you know, move on. So when I first became a Muslim, first of all, before that, all the, like, people from the bodega be trying to kick it to me, trying to talk to me, you know, trying to, like, you know, they're always trying to get somewhere, right? So... You know, I used to always, you know, like, you know, okay, no, this and that, okay. Sabah khair, sabah khair, no, that's all I knew, right? So when I became a Muslim, I found out what they were doing was wrong. I went to the stores, each store, and I cursed them all out because, you know, I was still ghetto. I was new, so I didn't know better, right? So I cursed them all out because I was like, how, you know, I told them about themselves because they knew wrong. So when I first went in there, right, before I cursed them out, they all changed their attitude. They was like, whoa, like they was just like, I can't believe you're Muslim. Like, you know, first I wasn't wearing a full hijab. I was wearing like more like a like a fishnet cap because I had a braids. And but then within like a week or two, I started wearing the hijab. And I love white, so I was always wearing white. But anyway, so I cursed them out. I told them about themselves. And they started to literally roll the carpet for me every time I came in, right? That was one experience. Then the second experience was I was going to school. Before that, you know, I was around, you know, people 125th Street. That's because I lived in New York. They were very ghetto. Well, like me, I was kind of ghetto too, right? So they were, like, very loud, cursing. I didn't curse, but they were cursing and things like that. Okay, I didn't curse as much, but when I became a Muslim, I kind of slowed down a little bit. So, right? So they were cursing, right? So all of a sudden, this guy was like, yo, chill. You know, there's a sister, you know, we can't talk like that. And I was like, oh, okay. So I kind of liked that treatment. And then, you know, people would get off the, you know, get off the chair, like the, you know, boys, they would give me their seats. You know, it was just like I was being treated like a madame, like more like so much respect, you know, immediately. And then lastly, it was like there was a guy, he was in a truck, and I was walking with my kids, and he was like, go, you effing terrorists, go back to your freaking country. And he said it in an accent. And I said, what the hell are you talking to? Come down. I said, park your car. Come talk to me. I said, what country are you from? You sound like you from the Spanish. What the hell are you talking about? I said, oh, so you're going to let the black fool you, right? I said, come down. I said, park your car. Let's talk to me. So he had a red light. So I ran over there. I said, yo, sir, where you from? He was like, you got to go back to your country. I said, what? I said, listen, I said, this is my country. He was like, you're wearing all that stuff and stuff like that. I was like, whatever. And then he kept going. I was like, you're lucky I'm Muslim because I would have come up there and get you, right? So last but not least, my favorite, are you hot? I'm like, what kind of hot you talking about? I'm like, listen, am I hot because I'm sexy hot or am I hot because I'm hot? I said, first of all, yeah, I'm sexy hot. That's why I'm covered up. The other hot is, heck yeah, I'm hot because it's summer, and you hot too because you fanning just like
exactly.
me. What the hell are you talking about? So that was all my, you know. So every time they came at me,
you're
I came
hot.
At them.
You're not hot? Yeah, I hate that question. Like, you hot
I used
too.
To tell them, yes, I am hot as hell. That's why I'm fanning, and so are you, and it's summer. I said, so if you don't got nothing good to say, don't say. I said, listen, you know, I just became a Muslim. Don't let the black fool you. I'm very ghetto. I'm trying to learn. Don't mess me up. You know, if you say something, I'm going to say something to you. I said, so let me, you know, please stop. And that was me. And then, of course, later on, I learned to have better manners. I was like, there is. So I kind of defended myself because I had, like, full confidence because before Islam, I hated my life. So when Allah guided me to Islam, I just valued every little thing about it. So I knew what I was giving up. So it was a little different for me, you know, and I didn't want to go back to that. So anybody came at me, I went back at you. I was like, what? Who the hell are you talking to? Like, don't let the black fool you. So I cursed out all the Yemenis because they should have been teaching me and not trying to, you know, get with me. And I was just, and then, you know, I learned. It was a journey, but alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Yeah. Thank you so much, Udella, for your call. We appreciate you calling in and listening.
Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum.
Okay, I'm going to introduce our guest, Fatima. She's from the Hijab Sukh. I'm going to tell you a little bit about the Hijab Sukh before I have her come on. The Hijab Sukh was brought to life in 2015 to create an avenue where women from all faiths could find hijab and modest clothing options without compromising their unique sense of style. Alhamdulillah, the Hijab Sukh currently carries a wide range of patterns, fabrics, and shades. They also have ventured into creating their own exclusive clothing line that aims to make their customers stand out while still being modest, comfortable, and confident. Their strength lies in an array of options for the modern Muslim woman, fully recognizing that style is an expression of their individuality. They want to celebrate each and every one of us. And let me tell you, I love the hijab. I buy them as gifts. I buy them for myself because, you know, I need hijabs. And I've also bought in a few dusters that they have. I love the dusters. It's like a nice cover-up. If you want to wear like a short sleeve maxi dress or something like that, you put the duster on top. Yes, I love it. So I have a few of those. I think I might have some pictures of them. I will post. So inshallah, we're going to introduce Fatima. Please hold the calls for right now because we're going to have Fatima tell us a little bit about her business and answer a few questions for us. Assalamu alaikum, Fatima.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you?
Good, alhamdulillah. Thank you so much for your patience. We appreciate you.
No, this was fun. I loved listening in, and everyone had such great stories to share, which was so nice.
Alhamdulillah. Okay, so we just wanted to know a little bit more about the Hijab Sukh and about yourself.
Absolutely.
So you're the creator of Hijab Sukh, right?
Yes. Yeah. So that kind of, I created it myself, leads me to why I started the business sort of in the first place. I wanted more options that fit my own personal style. I didn't want to make hijab an afterthought, but I wanted it to be more of a centerpiece to my outfit. You know, I still do this actually. I plan my outfit around the hijab that I want to wear that day, not the other way around. And in looking for options, Hijab Sukh was born, and here we are.
Okay, so can I ask, where are you from originally?
I'm originally from Tanzania in East Africa.
Yay!
Oh, okay, you were born Muslim.
I was born Muslim, yes.
What age did you start wearing hijab?
I went to an Islamic school while I was in Tanzania. So, you know, of course, all of my friends wore it. We had to wear it in school. And I found myself wanting to wear it when I was outside of school as well. But I don't know if I was doing so just because all of my friends did it or it was just part of the norm. And then much later down the line, I found myself drawn to it a lot more. And I think it was, I don't even remember what age it was, but so initially there was a time where I wore it because everyone else kind of wore it and it was just the norm. But I don't think I fully understood it at the time. When I grew up, brought me back, alhamdulillah, brought me back to it. And I wanted to wear it for myself and for Allah's pleasure, you know, not simply to tick a box or because someone else told me to.
When I started wearing it
full time, it was probably 18 or 19, maybe. I mean, I was wearing it in the beginning, sort of on and off, but not as I feel like I should have, you know. So I don't even want to count that. I mean, I was wearing it. I was covering my head, but not as I should, I feel. Not understanding why I was doing it, you know.
Right. Okay. What does the name Hijab Sukh mean?
So hijab is, of course, as we wear it. And souk translates to marketplace. So we wanted to, I guess, create a business that had a wide selection of options, similar to what you'd get when you go to a big bazaar or a big marketplace. So that's kind of where it stemmed from, and that's, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because souk, I know it was Arabic word, Arabic term.
Correct.
So, yeah. So, and how many people run the business with you?
So not many. I guess alhamdulillah, we do it just our family. I have a lot of support from my husband and my family, which is so, so important. So I guess it depends. I am doing this full time now. Initially, it was quite challenging when I was both working and doing this part time. But now, alhamdulillah, I'm doing it full time. And I have his support. And then in the exception of, like, events and, like, really busy periods, we hire help. But for the most part, we're doing it together as a family.
Okay. Alhamdulillah, because I know I've seen you at different events that I go to. I think especially...
Oh, my gosh, yes. I miss events. I miss seeing everyone and talking to everyone in person.
I think the last time I saw you was at the one in D.C. It wasn't in D.C., the big one. What's the big one that they have? I think it was in D.C.,
I think so.
So, okay, so where do you get your confidence from, and how do you feel being a hijabi now as an adult?
So when I feel like the first thing that I noticed when I wore the hijab was people listened to what I was saying a lot more than when they did before. You know, I was sort of coming across as sort of a blank canvas. People listened to what I was saying. People listened to my mind. The first day, I remember that I wore it like completely full time. I was worried about like how people would perceive me. I was worried that people would think I'm not the same person. But I feel like it was the complete opposite. People got to know me for who I was. I started becoming more aware of how I was coming across to people, and my personality really, you know, it starts to shine through. And I think, well, in terms of confidence, I think a lot of it stems from just being confident in who I am as a person. The hijab suit, actually, I was wearing the hijab a couple, you know, obviously for many years before I started the business. But like another sister was saying, that hijab doesn't have to be just a black, you know, you don't have to be like completely monotoned or boring. It can be fun. You can have prints, you can have colors. So I feel like the business helped me a lot with that. You know, I sort of wanted to create an avenue that's fun and modest. Helped me learn that hijab doesn't have to be, you know, it doesn't have to confine you. It can liberate you.
Have you ever gotten any negative comments regarding your hijab or being a Muslima in hijab, like in business, in school, or anything?
So always, I feel like we always get the occasional comments that, you know, are you sure you really want to wear it? Or does your husband force you to wear it? Or is, you know, your family making you wear it? You know, they always feel like we're oppressed in a way. I feel like I turned that around, and, you know, it sort of helps me open up a dialogue about how this is actually my own choice. You know, something that I love doing. something that allows me to be more spiritually connected to my religion. It makes me more aware of how I'm practicing Islam, because at the end of the day, if you think about it, you know, every sister that decides to cover is, you know, essentially a walking, talking symbol of Islam, right? So it sort of makes you a little bit more aware of how you, what you're doing, not just, you know, you just don't do anything and just like think it's perfectly fine, because it's a responsibility that we want to take seriously. You know, our attitude towards others, kindness towards others, it helps at least keep me in check, if you will.
Exactly. Yes. Yes. That's so true. Yeah. That's so true. Okay, so Sister Fatima, where can we find you? Like, what's your social media? How can we purchase? I mean, I know how to purchase, but let the listeners know how to purchase.
Alhamdulillah. So we have a website. It's basically just the business name. So www.thehijabsouq.com. And the Instagram, Facebook is again the Hijab Souk as well. And yeah, you can find us there.
Okay, inshallah. And we'll post it on our Facebook page. You can follow us at the Muslim Sisters Circle Radio Talk Show. We'll post it there as well. Thank you so much, Sister Fatima.
That's so kind of you. Thank you.
We'll be in touch.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Okay, I think we have one more caller. We're going to take our caller before we end the show. Assalamu alaikum. Please state your name and where you're calling from. Hello? I don't know what happened. Okay. Okay, so Hasana, I think tonight was a good show.
It was. I was just sitting here so emotional. We had so many beautiful sisters.
Wait, I'm sitting here so emotional because we had so many beautiful sisters that called and so many stories, and just to hear everyone's journey, to hear your journey. I've known you for so long and wasn't even aware, and I've learned so much today. So this is alhamdulillah. Thank you so much for, you know, having this idea and having all the sisters come together, because it's really about sharing our experiences. That's how we'll grow also, because sometimes you think you're the only person that's been through something or that is going through, but to know that you have a sisterhood and a support system.
And we all go through the same experiences. Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So true. So true. It's so funny with all the stories I could name. Something just like that happened to me, being called a terrorist, being told to go back to my country. I'm like, hey, well, hold up. I was born and raised in Brooklyn, New York, Brownsville. Okay, where are you from?
Exactly.
So, it's like people come at you with so much ignorance instead of like asking questions and getting to know more about the religion. People want to have negativity toward you for what? Like, it's 2021 now, so I'm hoping that things get better, although I don't know along with that. You know, all of our experiences are similar in some type of way.
It's absolutely. Just, like the sister that was talking about working in fashion, because I worked in media, and just, you know, like she was saying, it was just, you know, the way that they, you know, they look at you, or, you know, just trying to find a reason. I think, like you're saying, you know, now it's much harder to fire someone. Now they really, you know, they want people to, you know, cover. They think, you know, this, it's in now to be, you know,
right.
It was different. But whereas before, you felt stunned.
Yep. Commercials now, billboards, shows, everybody has a Muslima in them.
Yes.
You know, so it's like, it's the end thing, Jackie, now, you know, but alhamdulillah, you know, inshallah, things will get better and we will grow as a society. And wearing, you know, people seeing us in hijab and of all different races, you know, being Muslim is not just being Arab, it's not just being African, you know, we have African Americans, we have Asians, we have people from Indonesia, from, you see the sister from Tanzania, you know, it's like, we have different Muslims of all different races, so I don't understand why people are still so ignorant. I mean, if you have a question, ask your question, but don't be a jerk about it, you know?
Yeah. Like, oh, that's such a great way to end the show. Ask your questions, but don't be a jerk. So, you know.
Yes. So, you know, the sister was talking about being a reaver. And next week, inshallah, our show is going to focus on being a reaver to Islam. So I want all my sisters who are reavers to Islam to call in next week. But you got to be brief. About 5 or 6 minutes you have. You do get a lot of calls. And we want to make sure everyone gets their turn and is able to share, you know, their story as brief as, you know, possible. But inshallah, we'll make sure we have enough time for everyone. And we appreciate you calling. So again, our next show is going to talk about reverse to Islam. Oh, and I wanted to mention, there's a book and there's a play. I don't know if you got a chance to see it, Hassan, or Take the Girls. There's a book. I have a friend, Halima de Oliveira. She was actually one of the, I guess, Muslims. When I was in high school, her and her brother had introduced me to Islam. So the brother liked me and he started teaching me about Islam. And then I started to hang out with her and her brother, her family, started to go over there. The brother used to take me to Juma. So we'll talk about all of that next week. But she wrote a book called Not Without My Hijab. And she also had a play made from the book called Not Without My Hijab. So inshallah, check it out if you have a chance. I believe you can find her on Facebook at Halima de Oliveira, or you can look at the book, Not Without My Hijab. Very good play. I really did like it.
Oh, I would love to do that.
I think the girls would like it too.
Mm-hmm.
So that's our show for today. You're listening to the Muslim Sisters Circle Talk Radio Show. Again, you can follow us on Facebook at the Muslim Sisters Circle Talk Radio Show. Thank you for listening. Assalamu alaikum.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر